Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Frosty the Snowman.
Okay.
Ron is off scuba diving this week, and collectively we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about winter safety.
Oh yes, winter safety. Well, since it's almost winter time here in the Midwest, it's a pretty important topic. So let me start by giving a definition of hypothermia according to the Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
Hypothermia is a potentially dangerous drop in body temperature, usually caused by prolonged exposure to cold temperatures. The risk of cold exposure increases as the winter months arrive. But if you're exposed to cold temperatures on a spring hike or a capsized boat, you can still be at risk of hypothermia. Normal body temperature averages 98.6 degrees. With hypothermia, core body temperature drops below 95 degrees. In severe hypothermia, core body temperature can drop to 82 degrees or lower.
Chilly. Well, after doing some research on the topic, you know just how dangerous hypothermia can be. For instance, it turns out that the time it takes from falling into a frozen lake and becoming unconscious, it can be less than 15 minutes.
Okay.
And even in warmer water, you can have hypothermia. Only in water temps above 80 degrees can you actually survive for more than 4 hours.
Okay.
And they say indefinitely, but I don't think people really are staying in the water.
Right.
And I think it would eventually affect your skin.
Okay. Well, let's cover some of the symptoms of hypothermia right after you go and get Gigi a cookie, another handful of cookies.
That's a great idea. Hypothermia symptoms may include shivering, and the shivering can be pretty intense, although it may stop after the body temperature drops to a certain level. You may suffer from slurred speech, mumbling, shallow breathing, clumsiness, weakened pulse. You might have a lack of coordination, feel drowsy or tired. You may suffer from some memory loss or have confusion. You may even lose consciousness. And an infant's bright red, cold skin is an indicator of hypothermia.
Okay. And what do you do if you have it or you see somebody that has these symptoms?
Call 911. But first, let's talk about what not to do. Do not immerse the individual in warm water or warm the extremities, you know, the legs and arms, before warming the trunk of the body itself. And do not administer alcohol or cigarettes to help warm the person. That does not work.
Okay.
In doubt.
Okay, and what should you do?
Call 911 or your local emergency services.
Okay.
And if you can, move the person inside or at least out of the wind. If the sun is out, you might want to move them into the sun. Insulate them or keep them off of the ground because that'll leach more heat from the body, and protect the head and the neck area if it's windy, and remove wet clothing if they're in wet clothing, replace with warm, dry clothing or blankets.
Okay.
And if it becomes necessary and you are qualified to do so, perform CPR.
Are there any risk factors for hypothermia?
Yes. The elderly, infants, children, all of those individuals are at a higher risk, and those without adequate heating, clothing, or food are obviously at a higher risk.
Okay.
People with mental illness, people who are outdoors for extended periods of time, perhaps for work or if they're at play, and people in cold weather whose judgment is impaired by alcohol or drugs, those people are at a higher risk of getting hypothermia.
Okay. Is there a difference between hypothermia and frostbite?
Yes. Frostbite is an injury caused by the skin actually freezing and crystallizing. The water crystallizes.
Okay.
As well as damage to the underlying tissues. And this is most often seen in extremities like the toes, the nose, the fingers, the ears, the cheeks, and the chin.
Okay.
And exposed skin in cold, windy weather is most vulnerable to frostbite. So, any skin that's even covered by gloves, boots, or other clothing can potentially get frostbite if you're out exposed
for too cold of a temperature.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see that there's a chart here online from the Mayo Clinic that says symptoms of frostbite are cold skin and a prickly feeling mm-hmm. of the skin.
Right.
Numbness, a red, white, bluish white, or gray, yellow skin. So I guess any odd color to your skin, huh?
Yeah, any that it's not normally.
Okay. Yeah. A hard or waxy looking skin.
Yep.
And then a person could appear clumsy due to joint and muscle stiffness. And blistering that will happen after rewarming, that can happen in severe cases.
Yes.
And then if it's really bad, the tissue can actually die and amputation could become necessary.
Sure. You often hear about individuals stuck on mountaintops or in extreme right. weather, they end up losing fingers, toes, nose, ears. Yep. Okay. But prevention, I think, is really the key. You want to dress according to what you're going to be doing and the temperature outside and limit your time out in the elements.
Okay. Well, one good way to be proactive is to have an emergency kit in your car.
Sure.
In the winter, you should have a bag of salt or sand to help with traction if you're stuck on ice. You should keep your gas tank at least half full to avoid ice in the lines. You should have a flashlight with batteries. You should have blankets and extra winter clothing. An ice scraper with a snow brush to clear the windows.
Right.
Cloth or paper towels to help clear the windows if they get smeared up. You mm-hmm. got to be able to see.
Yeah.
A small snow shovel. Windshield washer fluid that's treated with antifreeze to keep it from freezing on the glass or in the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
Jumper cables in case you have a dead battery. And my idea preventative is before winter even hits, you should really have your battery checked to make sure that you got a good start every day, no matter how cold it gets.
Right. You probably also want to just do a general check of your vehicle, make sure your tires are...
Everything's ready. Yeah.
Everything's that's a good idea. And it's...
Okay.
And those are good tips if you're going to be traveling by vehicle mm-hmm. in the winter weather.
Right.
But what if you're going to be on foot? You know, did you know that some people actually run in the winter?
Yeah, like Trevor. Yeah. And his cross-country team at Downers Grove North. They run every day. They don't care how cold it is. They do, however, do smart things like layering clothes.
Sure.
They always wear hats since most heat is lost through your head.
That's actually a fallacy, but that's okay. Or a misnomer.
Oh, wait, I read that.
Yeah, no, it's not
true. Oh, my goodness, I read that. Okay. And they want to keep their ears warm.
Well, yeah, you don't want to lose your ears.
Okay, so hats are good for that.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Always good.
They also want to make sure that they're visible, so they either use a headlamp. I think at least one person in each group will have a headlamp.
That's good.
They use polarized sunglasses to keep their eyes from freezing. Your eyes will freeze, right, if you're running?
I think it just keeps the wind off of your eyes.
Okay. They have reflective tape that could be added to the clothing or it's built into the clothing, and obviously gloves.
Right, and actually if you wear mittens, your fingers will stay warmer than if they're just in gloves.
Okay.
And I guess if you really insist on running in these frigid temperatures, you know that you can run indoors as well.
Yes, on a treadmill.
Yes, or a track. I know it's not as,
That's
you know,
right.
yeah. Because this way you also won't have any potential slips and falls on ice. Being smart about protective clothing for your extremities to protect them from frostbite is vital. And, of course, you know my pet peeve.
You're implying pet safety?
Yep, absolutely. Even though they have their own built-in fur coats, it's still very cold outside for your pet, especially if it's wet and cold. Like if it's sleeting or it's cold and there's rain or snow. And there are jackets that you can strap around your dog that will limit the exposure to getting wet and help prevent that.
Right.
And just doing that can help a dog help maintain its body temperature and keep it from dropping. They also need to stay hydrated. So do you. And if you keep your dog outside for any length of time and the pet's water dish isn't heated, they can't drink and then they'll become dehydrated. And dehydrated pets are more likely to, or are at higher risk for hypothermia.
Okay.
And you want to make sure that if you're using antifreeze in your windshield washing fluid or in your vehicle, that you clean that up because it tastes and smells sweet, which pets might be attracted to that, but it is a deadly poison.
Right.
And lastly, you want to be really cautious with your pet's paws. They can get frostbite. And also they can crack and bleed because of the, cold, dry air. So you want to make sure you take extra care with them. And just remember, dogs have been bred for centuries for specific traits and taken out of their native land and native area.
That's why they're not called wolves anymore?
Right. So, they're not made to fend for themselves or live outdoors on their own.
They don't have the rough coats.
There
are some dogs, they have double coats, but still.
But we have breeds of dogs here in the United States from areas that they are not native to. So some dogs, you have to be especially careful that they don't overheat in the summer.
Right.
And other dogs, you have to be careful that they don't
get
freeze
too cold. Right.
In the cold. Yeah, dogs are not meant to be left outside. They are no longer wild animals.
Good advice. And like any other time of the year, you have to make sure that your pets have an ID on the collar and keep poisonous plants out of reach. So like in the winter, you might have poinsettias or mistletoe.
Right.
Those are poisonous.
Right. Good point. Well, at least we touched on some of the important points for winter safety. We'll make sure that there are links on our resource page on the website for this week's episode. So if you want to find out more information, please check out the website.
Okay.
And let's wrap it up because I'm ready to go warm up. And I just got cold talking about this topic.
Okay. Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us always at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
Yeah, Siri, subscribe to Podcast DX.
Right.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd like to know what you think. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
And until next week.